Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Amen. It is a tremendous joy both to study and to teach from these Psalms. Psalm 22, we learned, was the Psalm of the Cross. Psalm 23, we are learning and will learn that it is the Psalm of the Crook. And Psalm 24, we will learn, is the Psalm of the Crown. Jesus yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yesterday, he was on the cross. Today, he is our shepherd. Amen. Tomorrow, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Ruling over his kingdom that will last forever. Psalm 23. Your attention to verse number 1. I want you to do this for me. I'm sure that most of you won't, but a few of you will, and you few that will be blessed beyond measure. I want you to read John chapter 10 as we are studying through this. Read it at least once a week. If you'll do that, you can tie these two together, and it'll mean so much more to you. You see, Jesus identifies himself as the shepherd, the good shepherd, that giveth his life for the sheep in John chapter 10. He also brings another person into the dialogue, and that other person is a hireling. And he tells the difference between the shepherd and the hireling in John chapter 10. Here in Psalm 23, I said to you last week that David, in writing this psalm, has donned himself in sheep's clothing. He writes this from the eyes of the sheep. And the little sheep says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Rather than take the time to go through the other verses tonight, I want to spend my time on these 9 words, if I may. First of all, I want you to notice the most positive declaration that has ever been made. The Lord is. You'll never get by that if you ever believe that. If that ever one time breaks its way through your cranial, I promise you, you'll never be the same for the rest of your days. The Lord is. All of the other things in this psalm are possible because the Lord is. Everything that you and I enjoy in salvation, and that is still ours to enjoy future, is there because the Lord is. Jehovah, the self-existent Almighty God, is. I love that. I don't know about you, but I just love to linger on that very thought. That little sheep saying, "The Lord is." He could have made a lap around the rest of the sheep and leaped off his feet a few hundred times and just saying that very thing, "The Lord is. The Lord is." My shepherd. This term shepherd is more than meets the eye. Most of us think, well, it's somebody that kind of watches over the sheep and takes them out to the water and the grass and then brings them in at night. Well, that's so. But the shepherd is so much more. I told you last week, if you recall, the compound name here is Rah-Rah. Jehovah Rah-Rah. Jehovah my shepherd. Jehovah Rah-Rah. I love that. I can't get over those terms right there. Jehovah Rah-Rah. That's the way it's actually written. If you have any sense of joy in your heart anywhere, it'll come alive when you say that. Jehovah Rah-Rah. The Lord shepherds me. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord guides me. The Lord provides for me. Amen. The Lord is. Yes. The Lord is. Let's talk about this shepherd for a few moments tonight. A shepherd isn't normally a very lowly job. As a matter of fact, it was so lowly that most people didn't want to be a shepherd. If you recall, when the children of Israel went into Egypt, the Egyptians despised shepherds because they were so lowly. Even the Hebrews didn't think a whole lot of the job because it was given to the younger in the family. Whether it be male or female, it was given to the younger one. So we had shepherds and shepherdesses. You remember any shepherdesses? Remember Eliezer's search for a bride for Isaac? Where'd he find her? And what was she doing? Shepherding the sheep, taking care of the sheep. Amazing, isn't it? Jethro's daughters were taking care of the sheep when Moses met them. So both ladies and men were shepherds and shepherdesses, but it was a lowly job given to the younger in the family. You know, the kid doesn't have anything else to do. Let's put him out there to take care of the sheep. But a shepherd learns a lot. He learns the sheep. By the way, no shepherd could be a good shepherd unless he knew the sheep. No shepherd could be a good shepherd unless he knew the lay of the land where he's shepherding his sheep. You catch on to something here in a minute. Some of y'all ought already be turning cartwheels. Our shepherd knows the lay of the land, doesn't he? One of the most comforting things in my life, and I would to God that I could somehow just put this into your mind and let you feed on it time after time, for we all need it. When we learned that our shepherd knew yesterday what was going to come in our lives today. Nothing is a surprise to God. Our shepherd knows. And because our shepherd knows, our shepherd has provided. If he knows the lay of the land, he's going to lead the sheep through the land. Notice the term, through the land, to the destination. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Go to the other side," Jesus knew a storm was coming. They didn't. Jesus knew they were going to make it safe to the other side. They didn't. So they head out in the ship to the other side, and when they get in the midst of the sea, a storm comes. You remember the account? And our Lord comes to them walking on the sea. Did you get a hold of what I just said to you? You see, he knew the storm was coming. And he came to them walking on the storm. They were scared to death. They were fearful for their lives. And here comes Jesus walking on the sea. You know what the waves meant to him? Nothing. You know what it meant to them? Disaster. They thought they were going to die. But what had he told them previously? Go to the other side. If you catch up right there, you'll shout till Jesus comes. You see, the Lord sets us out on a journey. You know, and I know, if you know anything about that book, when God saves us, he's going to take us home, right? Yes. Glory. Yes. So all of the storms of life are just little things to kind of nip at our toes and keep us from being able to move at the express speed we'd love to, but we're still going where? Home. Where the Lord said we're going. So the storms come. What we need to learn to do is to realize that the storms are there for a purpose. They're just natural happenings due to nature. And they're going to come. We're all going to face issues in life But the shepherd said, go to the other side. And the shepherd said, we're going to the other side. So the shepherd knows the storm's coming, and the shepherd's walking on the storm. Why should we fear?
Right.
Why should we fear? The life of the shepherd. Lowly. Lonesome. Do you suppose the shepherd gets lonesome when all he hears is the bleating of sheep, the roaring of the lions, and the growling of the bears at night, and the howling of the wolves, those things? Do you suppose he gets lonely out there? Do you wonder why David wrote so many psalms? In the loneliness of the night, David is writing psalms. Do you know why he's writing psalms? Because he is conversing with someone other than the sheep. He's learned what we ought to learn. He's learned that in the trials of life, you need someone higher than yourself to speak with. You need to have a conversation with someone who knows what they're doing and knows the circumstances.
Yes. Amen.
I said to our brother tonight that I have been in circumstances where the one in charge didn't know what they were doing. Have you ever been there? As a matter of fact, I've been in charge and didn't know what I was doing. But I can report something to you tonight, and that is that our Lord knows what He's doing. And His love for the sheep will never let the sheep perish. God's purpose in our discipline is not destruction, it is development. God has every thought in mind for our good, purposefully. God is moving for our good. Though it seems as though this is disastrous on our behalf, not so. Not so. It's good. The shepherd's life is a loving life. He learns to love the sheep. A preacher friend of mine, now gone to glory, Brother Avery Rogers, spoke of a time that he visited with a shepherd in order to prepare some sermons on Psalm 23. And he said as he visited with that shepherd, he watched the shepherd as he called the sheep. Now he said that the shepherd had every sheep named. And he would call the sheep by name. Read John 10. And when he called those sheep by name, they would line up. He said they lined up like little soldiers. One right behind the other. I lost it when he told me this. He said the shepherd would walk down that line looking at those sheep. And every once in a while, one of those little sheep would just kind of stretch his head out and maybe take a half step forward toward the shepherd and stick his head up. The little sheep wanted the shepherd to pat his head and tickle him under the chin. Many a time, this old boy just wanted to take that half step forward and kind of lean out toward him and feel his touch. Feel the loving touch of the shepherd.
Yes.
And he said that little sheep, once the shepherd had touched him and maybe rubbed under his chin, that little sheep would just back up in line. And as he'd walk down the line, another would from time to time step out for the same affection. The shepherd loves the sheep. For God so loved the world. But I want to tell you something. His love for the sheep is unparalleled for his the love for the world.
Yes,
now listen to what I'm saying to you. He gave his life for the sheep.
Yes.
And the sheep, unaware of what's taken place, unaware of what's been done for them. Isn't it something that we live, I like to call it a dream world. We live in a dream world, unaware of what's going on. And then one morning God wakes us up and we realize that we're a part of the household of faith. We're a part of this flock. We're one of the sheep of His pasture, and He loves us and He's caring for us. He's feeding us. He's doing everything we need. He is supplying all. And He's supplying it for eternity.
Hallelujah.
The shepherd is a loving shepherd.
Amen.
We'll talk more about that later on. The shepherd is a lifting shepherd. Often he must lift the sheep. Now, I want to say something to you here, and I want you to get a hold of this, because most people will never get a hold of this marvelous truth. You would never, never come to Jesus except He come to you first. You, as a child of God, would never be restored if He did not restore you.
Yes. True.
Because you have not the energy nor the effects to do so. When the sheep is lost, maybe fallen into a ravine, or fallen, as Psalm 41 puts it, into a horrible pit, the shepherd comes and lifts that sheep from that horrible pit, from that place of danger. And Psalm 40 again, he places his feet on a solid rock and establishes his goings and puts a new song in his mouth. A song of praise. Not because I've been delivered, but to who delivered me.
Yes.
Boy, isn't there a great difference in that? We major so much on what has happened to us rather than who did it for us. We major on our salvation rather than the Savior. And to do so is to rob Him of His glory. Try to make your conversation major on Him rather than on you. One little thing that I try to teach people to say is, God saved me rather than I got saved. I think I've mentioned this to you before. If I have, then you need to hear it again anyway. But the very truth of this little statement is astounding.
Yes.
I got saved. What is the subject of the sentence? God saved me. Where's the subject of the sentence now? Who's getting the glory now? There's the way this thing ought to be focused. Not toward us. And it looks as though, you know, it's harmless. The devil has given us that little phrase, and it makes it look harmless. But it isn't harmless, because it's putting the glory where it does not belong. It's robbing the God of glory of His glory and putting it upon man. And God said, I will share my glory with no man. And yet we try to put the glory on man rather than giving the glory to God. That one little phrase would help you tremendously if you'll just learn to use it. I refuse to say I got saved at the age of 9. I say God saved me at the age of 9. I like that better anyhow. Amen. Lifting. I want to spend a minute or two here. I'm just started. The shepherd lifts the sheep. The sheep are bad to become lost. They're bad to stray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We love to turn aside. We love to go in another direction. We love to get distracted. And oftentimes when the sheep get distracted and get away from the shepherd, they fall. A sheep is a tender animal. Besides being ignorant, muchly so. More so than anything else, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. They don't see well, so they don't know the sight of the shepherd. They really don't even hear well, but they can hear the voice of the shepherd. I said to you last week, some of you looked at me kind of strange. Let me say it again. Dead men can do two things. And I'm not talking about laying there and look dead either. Dead men can do two distinct things. Number one, they can hear the voice of God. They can feel the touch of God. The widow of Nain's son felt the touch of God. Lazarus heard the voice of God. They were both doornailed dead. If you can't hear the voice of God, you'll never be saved. And we are dead in trespasses and sins. Yet we can hear God. By the way, you better pray you do hear God. Because if you never hear Him, you'll never get the glory. Remember what I told you about Romans 8:28. We're not going to go there again. But the sheep are prone to wonder. The songwriter said, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Fix it so it's not opened until we get home. Did not Paul say that we are sealed by the Holy Ghost of promise until the day of redemption? Can I use my little phrase right here? We're so saved, it's pitiful. Thank the Lord. Straying sheep often become sagging sheep. A sagging sheep is a sheep that has somehow rolled over on his back. When a sheep is on his back, he cannot right himself. In moments, the cud begins to be so gaseous that it swells, causing pressure on the heart. The heart now cannot do the work it's supposed to do and get the blood to the extremities of the sheep. And now his legs are becoming numb and cold. And the more he kicks, the worse it becomes. And he'll lay there on his back and die without the shepherd. Now remember I said to you a while ago, that you can't right yourself. Here is the marvelous truth in picture form. That sheep cannot right itself. You ever see a June bug on its back? He'll die on his back. A sheep is on his back, he'll die on his back. And he'll die quickly. If he is not found by the shepherd, quickly he'll die. And become the food for the buzzards and the jackals. And all the varmints. It is imperative that the shepherd find the sheep quickly. Do you suppose? You remember the account our Lord gives us of the shepherd with 100 sheep? 99 are in the fold. He leaves that 99 and goes to find the little sheep that's out there. He may be on his back. He may be in a ravine. He may be at that very moment being measured up for the supper of a lion or a bear or a serpent. Are you listening to me? But the shepherd leaves the 99 to find the one that's out in the wilderness. Did he not do that? Then all of us every last one of us as sheep would perish somewhere in the wilderness because we've all been there. But there's an urgency. Not on the part of the sheep, but there's an urgency on behalf of the shepherd to find that sheep. The parable of the lost son. The scripture tells us that he took the part of his inheritance and went into a far country. There he spent his money in riotous living. And finally, after he'd spent everything he had, he winds up in a hog pen. And in that hog pen, he remembers the Father's house. But he remembers the Father first. Don't make too much of the Father's house. If the Father's not there, the house isn't anything. He remembers the Father and the servants and all the things that go on at the Father's house. And he waves goodbye to the hog pen and heads to the house. And that whole story, if you have a spiritual eye, you can see the shepherd watching over that sheep while he's out there. And can I announce to you that he's not out there long? Because the fatted calf is still a fatted calf when the boy comes home. It was a fatted calf the day it was put up, and it was still a fatted calf the day he come home, or came home. Now watch this. I don't know if you know a whole lot about cattle or not, but a calf doesn't stay a calf forever. There are no 20-year calves out there in the field. There are no 10-year calves out there in the field. Remember I said to you there is an urgency on the part of the shepherd to get the sheep into the fold? There just are no long-term calves. The urgency of the shepherd is to find that sheep lest it die in the wilderness. And I'm going to show you later on that it is the shepherd's name that's at stake, not the sheep's name that's at stake. Boy, that ought to cause you to shout till Jesus comes. We like to think, oh, look here, I'm a living for Jesus. I'm undoing this and I'm a doing that. And I'm so saved and I'm so sanctified and I'm not a doing anything wrong. I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't even kiss the girls that do. Isn't it marvelous how well we do things? But can I tell you, you're going to heaven is not on your name. Right. You're getting to heaven is on His name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And it's His name that's at stake, not your name.
Amen.
Would to God we could learn that. The shepherd's life is a lifting. Lifting that sheep from its fallen condition. I'm grateful to God that He lifts us. We can't lift ourselves. Do you know that a sheep can lay down and be so heavy from its wool because either it has gotten too long or maybe gotten damp or wet that it can't get up? But guess what? The shepherd knows. And the shepherd comes by, and the shepherd picks him up and sets him on his feet. Yeah. When that little lamb sheep is sagging, and he picks that lamb up and sets it on his feet, he straddles that little lamb or sheep and reaches down and massages his legs to get the blood flowing in his legs till that little sheep can walk again. Is that love? Is it love that God restores us, puts us back on our feet, and then fondles us and lets us know we're loved? That word fondle has become a bad word in our day, but it literally means to love with your hands. And that shepherd would fondle the sheep. He literally would inspect that sheep with his hands to make sure that there were no sore places, no scabby places, no places where the scab, that's the name of the disease that a sheep gets, and the wool just separates and comes out. So he must find those places and care for those places and see that they're healed to keep the sheep healthy. The fondling of the shepherd is for the sheep's health. Hello? What is our Lord doing with us when he's handling us? I don't know about you, but I just go to shouting when I know the hand of God's on me. While it's the greatest assurance in this world that you belong to him because he's fondling you. Say, it hurts sometimes. Sure it hurts, but it's for our benefit. It's for our benefit. But then those hands that examine are the same hands that love and caress, pet the head of that little sheep. The shepherd lifts us, sets us back on our feet, and brings us back to the fold. Oftentimes, the sheep that strayed is not led back to the fold. He's carried back to the fold on the shepherd's shoulders. Wonder why? Two things. His love for the sheep and the sheep's ignorance in not knowing where they are or where they're going. I don't know about you, but I'm a grateful boy that God sent the Holy Ghost to direct us. I'm thankful to God that we have a book that we can read to show us the way, and the Holy Ghost to assure us and direct us and guide us and bless us along the way. If we didn't have that, we'd all be out there wandering around somewhere. Why? Because sheep are dumb. You think God's people are dumb? Now, some of you folks that are educated, you're looking at me right now and saying, well, I'm not. Let me tell you what you've heard that I've said to you tonight. You've heard 1/8 of what I've said to you. If you had to go out of here and write it down tonight, you couldn't write down what I've said by any stretch of the imagination. You have to hear something 10 times before you even form an opinion on it. And you can't even recall it till you hear it 3 times. Hello? And we think we're smart. Here's a great day in my life when I learned that I don't know anything. And if God doesn't teach me and 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 teach me, I'll never know anything. We must be taught. We must be taught. We're helpless. We must be brought. We're literally hopeless. We must be sought. And we're lost. We must be bought. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. It is the shepherd's very duty to put himself between danger and the sheep. A number of years ago, we were fighting the liquor crowd in Nassau County, Florida, and it got rough. They tried to run me off the road, my automobile, my family was in the car with me. They shot at me in my yard several times. And vowed to the sheriff that they'd kill me. I'd go home at night, lay down in my bed and go to sleep. People would all say, how in the world can you do that? How can you do that? My answer was, God has one of his greatest guardian angels at my door. And if he lets them in, then that is his will for them to come in. My men of the church, would ride around my house all night long. That's how bad it got. Did I ever lose a moment's sleep that you know of? When it came bedtime, I went to bed, I went to sleep. I didn't waste my time worrying about it when I was awake. I knew I was doing what God wanted me to do. And as long as I was doing what he wanted me to do in the will of God, I was untouchable. You need to believe that. When you're doing what God wants you to do, when you're right there knowing you're right in the perfect will of God Almighty, you don't have to worry about anything. You are there and you are under divine protection.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But even on your journey from here to glory, the shepherd puts himself between you and harm's way. You say, but Brother Larry, we suffer. Sure we do. We're sheep. Often sheep suffer. But we don't suffer without a cause. We never face an issue without a purpose. Remember what I told you to begin with tonight. He's already been there. That shepherd will never lead his sheep where he has not already checked the path. While they're resting, he's checking the path. While they're sleeping. I often wondered how a shepherd lives. He's awake singing to the sheep at night. He's leading the sheep during the day. Hours before daylight, he is up. The sheep are up. He's called them by name, and they are on their way to the pasture. We'll talk more about that later. The shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I could live right there. Without the rest of this chapter, I could live right there. The Lord is my shepherd. I pray you can live there. Our Heavenly Father,